And now we're going to first start off. Our first speaker is going to be Grant. So give him a warm welcome.
Hey, everybody. I'm Grant. I'm alcoholic. My sobriety date is March 7, 2010. I have a sponsor, and I do have a home group. I just want to start off by saying, you know, like, for me, for me, when I speak at a meeting, especially in front of young people, like, I just want to sound really good. I want you guys to like me. I want to be impressive, you know, and I just, like, really want to be liked. So, like, you know, that's, like, I want to just say that as a disclaimer, you know, just because, like, sometimes I can get off track and try to present myself as somebody that I'm not, you know, and, you know, so with that, that was the only thing I really prepared, so I'm just going to kind of shoot from the hip from now on. So, I was born in Connecticut. I grew up in Greenwich, Connecticut. Ever since I could remember, a lot of people say this, but I just always remember not really fitting in. I just always like I'll explain how I felt all the time. Like would be if there's like a group of people like over there. And they're like talking. Maybe if they like look my way or something, I'd be like, they're probably talking shit about me. And I need to do something to make them like me because they already don't like me, you know. And I just that was just the whole thing. It plagued me my whole life. I was just like I was constantly like a slave to what people thought about me, and I still am to a certain extent today. But you know, it's like, and it's just please like me. I just want to be cool. I just want to fit in. I just want to, you know, whatever. And so. Obvious, and that's just how I felt all the time, you know, and I, so I always kind of gravitated towards things that would, you know, just get me out of myself, like, you know, that would help me stop thinking for a minute. So, like, I played video games, like, beyond obsessively. I played, you know, I would, you know, yeah, I just, like, become, like, really good friends with one kid, and then whatever, and then become really good friends with another, and I just kind of get lost in, like, these, like, kind of, like, pseudo-relationship type things, and, I would also, you know, just whatever, and I just, like, I'd watch TV just for hours on end, you know, just all that stuff, and, you know, this was, like, when I was, you know, 10, like, you know, still kind of, but, you know, I just kind of think that's, like, what my alcoholism started out as, you know, and that was, like, my problem. I was, like, being sober just sucked, you know, I just always thought something was wrong, and, you know, so middle school is a disaster. I feel like that's just everybody, and I went away to boarding school, and I was kind of like a skater kid before I went away to boarding school, and it was kind of really funny. I was listening to like punk rock music, and I was like living on the water in Greenwich, Connecticut, and it didn't really like fit, but like, you know, and but like, you know, I was still like listening to Rage Against the Machine and whatever, and So that was like that, you know, then I went away to boarding school, and I just kind of like total reversal. I started wearing like pink and everything. And I started, I listened to like Dave Matthews Band and Dispatch and you know, I just totally changed who I was. And just cause I thought that's what like the cool kids, I kind of like modeled myself. It's sad, but I kind of like would like pick out a person. I just start modeling myself after them, you know? And this one guy was talking about drinking, and my freshman year of high school, I took my first drinks. So I was in like Cancun or whatever on vacation. It wasn't crazy at all, but my sister's boyfriend at the time got me 2 Jaeger bombs. I drank them, and I just remember feeling really cool. You know, I felt like I was part of this club that I wasn't part of before. I felt like you know. Nothing, but the next time I drank, which was over the summer, I was with my sister, her boyfriend, and another guy, and I just remember being crawling out of my skin because these people were definitely cooler than me, and definitely had more to offer than I did and everything, and, you know, I was just, whenever I was around them sober, I was just like, you know, like, I couldn't talk. My lips were like, you know, it's just like I couldn't talk, and I remember they had some like vodka and Gatorade. It was disgusting, and I drank it, and I got drunk, and I started, you know, I drank, I had a drink, and then then I started being able to, like, poke fun, you know, at, like, the guys that are a lot cooler than me. I started, you know, I just felt, like, cool, and, like, these things that were always kind of, like, I thought I should say, but I wouldn't say, were just kind of coming out of my mouth. And you know, for me, it was, like, I was, like, this is fucking amazing. Like, I love this, you know? And I hit that mark, and then I overshot it just because that's what I do. And I got drunk, threw up, and did that again the next night. And I just kind of fell in love with alcohol. Like, I was like, this is, like, right after that, I was like, this is like what I need. This is like the missing piece in my life. Looking back on it today, you know, that's like, because like that, it cured my alcoholism. You know, that's what I felt. That's what I think alcohol did for me, you know. So I was at boarding school, and I was trying to, you know, be a good kid, so I didn't drink that much. But whenever I drank, I'd just get like absolutely obliterated and like throw up and just cause a mess like wherever, you know. And that's just kind of, I couldn't really drink a lot, so I'd just get really drunk and throw up. That was kind of like what would happen. But I liked it. I thought it was fun. I got into a relationship in high school, you know, kind of isolated from my friends, really hated high school, so I was, like, really ready to go. I got into the school, which I really never should have got it into. My parents, a family full of alumni, they kind of pulled some strings, and I got in, and I swear to God, like, when I arrived at this school, you know, I was like, I am set for life. Like, I'm like good to go. I'm gonna have this, you know, I'm gonna just have a blast, gonna go get this good job, marry the beautiful wife. I felt like my life was all just gonna like fall into place. And I started drinking, and I started drinking a lot, and I started blacking out a lot, and everything else was just like what's the point, you know? I'd like play video games all day during the week and skip all my classes, and then I'd go get like, you know, blackout drunk three nights, like, you know, Thursday, Friday, Saturday. I failed out of school. I got suspended, I guess, you know, whatever, splitting hairs. I was just a disaster. I just thought, I remember when I got suspended from school, I was like, what, like, I was like, this isn't the plan, this isn't how it's supposed to go, you know. I was like, I'm supposed to be, you know, graduating with my friends, I'm supposed to be at a party. I remember being home, like, oh my God, like, being on Facebook, like, looking at all the pictures every single night, like, look at all the fun they're having, you know, whatever. But, like, getting sober was never really a thought. I was just like, I was just lazy, you know, and that's why all this, like, bad stuff was happening, you know. I just didn't have like the determination to get good grades and go to class and everything like that, you know. I didn't really know what was going on, but I knew if I just tried harder, I'd do better. I got really drunk one night when I was going to meet with the dean. I was meeting with the dean the next morning at like 9 o'clock to go back to school. I got really drunk the night before. I woke up still drunk. I missed the appointment. I went to like a later one, but like my dad was there, and he was just like, what is going on? So he was a kind of answer. I didn't know what happened. I was like, I didn't know that, you know, in the doctor's opinion, they lay out this definition of like, you know, what an alcoholic, you know, does. And I didn't know I had this allergy that when I start drinking, I generally can't stop. I probably like 7 out of 10 times, I couldn't stop, you know, and I would just get way too drunk. I started drinking, and, you know, I just blacked out, and, like, that's just what I do, you know. I have this allergy. When I drink, I get a craving, and I just want more, because, like, you know, it's not doing what I want it to do fast enough or whatever. I don't know. It looked like different things at different times, but blacked out, woke up drunk. My dad was like, what's up? I, like, didn't know, he was complaining about me at in like the steam room at this gym that he went to, and there's this old guy in the gym, and he broke his anonymity, and that guy 12-stepped me, in November 2009, while I was suspended from school, and And he kind of like laid out this picture of sobriety. That, you know, looked he made it look pretty good. He was an older guy. He was sober like 20 plus years. He was 70 years old, and you know, he was really successful. And you know, I was like, okay, so like successful people do this. Like, I had really no judgments of Alcoholics Anonymous at the time, and I went to a meeting in my like hometown of Greenwich, and this guy was there, Colin was there, so there was like a young person there. I had no reason to not think, like, you know, young people weren't doing it, but like I just wasn't ready. I identified, I, like, you know, they talked about, they read how it works, and like I heard like rigorous honesty. I was like, I need that, you know, because like I was just like a walking lie, you know. I was like, if I thought it was gonna make you like unhappy in any way, shape, or form, like I just wasn't gonna tell you the truth, you know. And that basically, you know, so most everything I said was a lie. So I was like, oh, rigorous honesty, I could use some of that, you know. And I stopped listening. And I was like, then I wanted to share, and I wanted to, like, you know, share my wisdom with you guys and everything. But thankfully, I didn't get called on. I went to some meetings, and I kind of intended to stay sober, kind of not. I showed up every once in a while, you know, fellowshiped a little bit. Definitely didn't get a sponsor. That was ridiculous. I wasn't that bad. And definitely, like, I showed up late, so I didn't hear anybody I probably heard how it works that first meeting. That was probably it. And you know, I went back to school and I got drunk the first day, and that's just what happened. You know, I was defenseless. You know, I was in an apartment with people drinking, and I'm like, fuck it, why can't I do that? You know, I wasn't that bad. So, you know, obviously it got bad again. I stopped going. I didn't go to class. I didn't want to fail out of school. That wasn't my intention to fail out of school, but it was just happening, and I didn't want to do that, and it was happening. You know, I told this really dumb lie. Like, I didn't go to, like, I said I went to a doctor's appointment and I didn't. And my parents were like, well, what else are you lying about? And I was just like, I'm like, I can't stop drinking and using drugs. And, you know, I'm failing all my classes. And like, it was like, they were like, oh my God, what is going on? But, and like, I'm wasting all your money on this, whatever. But, so like that was, you know, and that was like right before spring break. I tried to, you know, stay at school and whatever, because I wasn't gonna be able to drink at home. Like, I needed to stay where the fun was and everything, you know. But I was gonna fail, and I was collapsing, and I left school. The last time I smoked pot right before I got on the bus ride home from DC, and I spent the whole. I was on a Bolt bus and I had Wi-Fi, so I was like trying to. I was trying to figure out how to clear my urine in like 5 hours, and it wasn't happening. I was smoking every day, like all day, so like that was impossible. So I just kind of remember this, like, it was really crazy. I just remember like it was 3 hours into the ride, I was 2 hours from arriving, and I just remember this like calm coming over me, and just being like, okay, all right, like the jig's up. You know, I got home, you know, I had a real pleasant talk with my parents, and went to a meeting that night, and I heard just people share. I heard them talk about alcoholism. I heard them talk about how their life got better, and I had this revelation that, you know, I was, you know, my mind was going to kill me, and it was going to convince me to drink again. I was very confident in the fact that if I don't go to a meeting, like multiple meetings a day, that I was going to convince myself to drink again. So I went to a meeting at 9 a.m., 7 a.m., and then I would go to work, and then I would, you know, go to a meeting at night, maybe two. And I did that for, you know, I got a sponsor on my fourth day. And, you know, I was pretty confident in the fact that this was what was going to, you know, I saw it working with other people. I knew that you people, you know, had something that I didn't have, you know, and I was really, I wanted it pretty bad, you know, because I didn't want to be this miserable sober person, you know, because you just took away my best friend. I was kind of pissed about that, you know. I was like, you know, I had no tools to deal with my life, but thank God, you know, this was the only AA I knew when I came in, so my sponsor told me to read, you know, the doctor's opinion, and then Bill's story, and I read that shit the first night he told me to do it. I was like, what else do you want? I mean, I need to do more stuff, you know, let's go. And, you know, I got into the steps right away. And I started going to meetings, and I got a home group right away. And my life got, you know, like, exponentially better. Nothing was changing, but my life was just getting better because, like, you know, I like the noise and the voices and the people telling me that I'm not doing something right in my head, they started shutting up a little bit. You know, since we're at legal, you know, I got sober in Greenwich, Connecticut, and there's not, you know, there's this other guy, and then Colin, and it was just kind of, that was it for, like, the young people in the town. And then there's, like, a 30-year-old, and then there's pretty, you know, after that, it was a lot of older people, which is great. They're my people. Like, I love them. I belong to that home group, and, I love my home group. I love it, but, you know, I started going to legal when I was about 7 months sober, and I wanted to die. Like, I was like, this, nobody likes me here. This is terrible, like, you know. But, I don't know why. I just kept coming. I was talking with Rob. It was just really inconvenient coming from, like, Connecticut to the city, like, just for, like, a Thursday night meeting. But I just came, and I got to know people, and I started, like, hanging out with people more. And I just started having fun and realizing, you know, it's like that, you know, this wasn't, like, this. I knew it wasn't the end of my life, but I started seeing, like, kind of the light at the end of the tunnel. I started having fun in sobriety, I was still doing the steps. I was working the program. And I was doing everything. So I came to legal like every Thursday for like a year. I went back to school, to college where I hit bottom, which was like a, you know, that was a transition. That was, you know, leaving my home group was really difficult. Through the legal, I met a guy who got me hooked up with some people down in D.C. I got hooked up in the meetings down in D.C., you know, and I found a new home group down there. And you know, like, I could do this whole sober school thing, you know, being a college student. You know, all my old friends were still there. They were still partying. They got they started doing different things after I left. And thank God I left, you know, because I'd be doing the same stuff. I just got to, you know, be a student. Like, I was, like, my cumulative GPA when I left school was, like, well, my last semester I got a 1.4, you know, my first semester back I got a 3.9, you know. Don't clap, it's nothing. It's nothing. If you go to class and do your homework, it's, like, not that hard to get good grades. It's not rocket science, but I learned how to do all that stuff, like, you know, because I would just, like, showing up to my home group. I learned how to show up to class by showing up to my home group every week, you know, and I learned to, you know, showing up to commitments, and, you know, I learned how to do homework by doing, like, a 4-step and doing my step work and stuff, and without that stuff, I'm still the same kid who's skipping class and trying to skate by, and I still can do that, and, you know, but, and right around my 2 years, I wanted to drink, because I stopped doing the stuff that you guys told me to do all the time, you know, like doing this 10-step inventory. It's kind of a big deal. And I wasn't doing it. And you know, just like the thought kind of popped into my head, like you should go drink. You know, there's a commercial and I was like, that looks really good. Like, I should go do that. And I am powerless over that stuff if I'm not doing the right stuff in this program. And if I'm not doing like a 10-step, if I'm not praying and meditating, you know, if I'm not praying, it doesn't matter how my relationship with God is. I still need to be doing this stuff, and I still need to be praying in the morning and meditating and trying to, like, live this life. So, thank you for having me speak here, and I'm really pumped to dance. It's gonna get a little crazy. So, with that, it's over.
You're pumped.